Tonight I want to share with you a benediction. And benedictions typically come at the end of a religious service. Tonight I want to start my sermon with a benediction. In churches that are a little more of the liturgical tradition, the benediction is a formal blessing of the people by the pastor or priest. And in the Quaker tradition, I'm told that when the pastor gives the benediction, all the people stand and they hold out their hands like this in front of them. And when they say amen, they bring their hands to their chest. And it's as if they were receiving something and bringing it in close to them. And that's what a benediction is. It's a gift. It's a blessing to the people that they bring into their lives. And so I'm going to ask that you would stand with me and prepare to receive this benediction. The benediction is from Hebrews chapter 13. And it goes like this. Oh yeah, your hands up. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. In our world today, there's a lot going on. And it's pretty crazy, isn't it? We live in a stressed out world. As we've already talked about, tensions are high. And if you are a consumer of the news media, you are bombarded with stories from around the world of wars, political unrest, starvation, corruption, climate catastrophes, you name it. If it's bad news, you can watch it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Truly, it does seem that the sky is falling at times. I quit watching so much news a while ago. I quit listening to talk radio. Not because I want to just stick my head in the sand and make it all go away. But I'm not as bummed out as I used to be. I'm a lot less stressed out because I'm not just bombarded all the time with bad news and tension and in-your-face kind of stuff. Because even without the barrage from the news media, our own lives have enough drama and enough stuff going on in them to fill a 24-hour news channel. I mean, you think about it. We have problems at work. We have problems at home. We have relationship struggles. Marriage is falling apart. We got financial issues. We got health problems. We struggle with addictions that seem like they're never going to end. And we feel like that unless the Lord intervenes, the sky is going to come falling down in my life. We got enough junk in our lives that we don't need to take in all that's going on around the world and bear those burdens as well. There's plenty of stress for each of us. Well, when we get overwhelmed, it's only natural that we find ways to simplify our lives. We cut back on TV news and talk radio. We cut back on this and that, and we just seek to do that which is easy. And there's a good part about that, but there's also a negative side of that, because that pragmatism also takes over our faith sometimes. And we just get a little too complacent. And we lose our fervor. We lose our vitality. Our love for God becomes tepid. The scriptures aren't alive and vibrant anymore. They're just kind of words on a page. We've read them before, and they really don't speak to our hearts like they used to. We lose the adventurous spirit we once had that once made us believe that we could make a difference in this world. Maybe not on a global scale, but with the person next door or with that person at work. And then we just kind of slip into a spiritual apathy and just kind of drag along. Well, it's my prayer that this benediction that we find will give us a wonderful picture of the God that we serve, and that it will shoot some spiritual adrenaline into our souls and revive us once again and remind us that there's more to life than just what we see in the day-to-day living. That we are here for a purpose. We are here on a mission. We have a reason to get up in the morning and to interact with others. We have a reason to be hopeful and joyful. And so we're going to talk about that. This benediction reminds us that God is holy. This is one of his basic foundational characters, the holiness of God. Several theologians and authors have attempted to describe what this means, that God is holy. And it is a vast and complex concept. One of them described it this way, that God is God being holy means that God is transcendent over his creation, meaning that because God created everything that we can see, and even those things that we can't see, and those things that we don't know about, that he is above, that he is superior to, that he is over his creation. He is transcendent. And so this, to me, makes the incarnation of Christ even more extraordinary. That God would be willing to choose to take on human form and be born to a common family and to live in this world and to live among the creation that he made and subjecting himself to its laws and its limitations. And that he himself, Jesus, would experience the worst kind of violence that man can hand out. It just amazes me that God would be willing to do this. When I was a younger lad, I used to take shoe boxes and other similar sized boxes, and I would make houses and buildings for my cowboys and Indians, my army men. And I would use toothpicks and popsicle sticks and cardboard. I would make furniture and all kinds of things. I would make little towns out of these cardboard boxes. And I would think about what it would be like if I could shrink myself down and go in and walk in and around and sit on these chairs that I had made and, you know. And those were good times. You know what I'm doing tomorrow. But anyway. But I would imagine what it would be like to go into that thing that I had created. And so in a similar way that I was transcendent over my cardboard town, God is transcendent over his creation, but in a much, much grander scale. The holiness of God has been described as a mysterious otherness, meaning that God is so far from removed from what you or I can comprehend that he is indescribable. And we talked a little bit about this at the Backyard Theology this last Wednesday night. How do we describe God? How do we put into human terms what God is like? And can we adequately do that? I don't think we can. There's simply, I don't think there's words in our language or any language that can fully describe, that can fully comprehend and take in all the mystery and the awesomeness and the glory that is Yahweh God. How could we do that? Accurately describing God, I think, would be like just trying to describe quantum physics to a slug. How could you do that? I don't know. But it's a mystery. And this is why the person, again, the person of Jesus is so important to us, because as Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God. He is the ultimate revelation of God to humankind. Jesus shows us what God is like in a way we can understand and comprehend. This is why I'm always encouraging you to be reading the scriptures, read those gospels, get to know Jesus and how he would react and interact in different life situations. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God to humankind. So who is this God that we serve as revealed to us in Jesus, the Messiah, that is described in this benediction? We see four things here. First off, we see that our God is a God of peace. And who doesn't need more peace in their lives? Someone once defined peace as what grace feels like when you put it on. I love that description. Imagine grace as a, maybe on a chilly day like this, as a warm coat or a robe. Grace that you wrap around yourself and envelop your life in. And that feeling that you get. Peace is what grace is like when you put it on. I like that. I personally experienced a holy peace when my dad passed away. And similarly when my Aunt Louise passed away, as I stood by her bed. It was a tremendous peace that it's hard to explain. It's hard to put into words, other than that I had the full assurance that my loved ones were in the hands of a just and loving God. I couldn't tell you anything about the status of their salvation. All I know was that at that time, I had a peace that they were in God's hands. And that's a peace that still carries me today as I think about that and contemplate. God knows I can trust him, and that brings me peace. It's like what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. He tells us to be anxious for nothing. Stop worrying about things. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, everything that makes sense, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Imagine a guard, someone securing your heart and your mind, protecting from outside assaults. That's what the peace of God does for us in Christ. Our God is a God of peace. We also see that our God is a God of resurrection. He is a God who brings life out of death. I love this. Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb. You remember this in John chapter 11. Jesus' friend Lazarus died. And 4 days later, Jesus shows up. And he tells Mary, roll back that stone. And what did she say? 4 days. 4 days. Lord, He stinks. It's been 4 days. Can you just picture saying, Lord, he stinks. My Lord, he stinks. That smell is very real to me. When I was with the police department, my last call was guarding a crime scene where a body had been for a long time. And that smell was everywhere. Lord, he stinks. 4 days. And look what Jesus did. Lazarus, come forth. And life comes out of death. Don't put a timeline on it. When you believe in the resurrection, when you believe in the resurrection, you will find that you can believe anything. When you believe in the resurrection, a broken marriage can be restored. When you believe in the resurrection, relationships can be mended. Trust can be restored. When you believe in the resurrection, addictions are conquered. And when you believe in the resurrection, even broken churches can be revived. One of the Church of the Nazarenes general superintendent, J.K. Warwick, told the story about a broken church that was all set to close its doors. The church board and the pastor were at odds with each other. They couldn't agree on everything. People were leaving the church. This church was dying. And there was no way that anyone could see that this church was ever going to make it. And so the local district superintendent went to this church and called a meeting with the church board and the pastor. And in our Nazarene manual, there's steps laid out for how to close a church. And it's a difficult thing. I can't imagine. It must be a painful thing. It's probably, on an ecclesiastical level, it's probably similar to taking a loved one off of life support. It's a difficult thing for the congregation, for the church board, the pastor. And as they met together and opened their time in prayer, God's resurrection spirit began to move among them. And they began to get their hearts right with God. They began to get themselves right with their calling. They began to get themselves right with one another. And they decided to give it one more try. And J.K. Warwick says that 2 years later, that church is growing. That church is thriving. That church that was dead is living. And J.K. Warwick said this, cracks me up. Our general superintendent said, God won't live by our manual. We've tried to tame him, but it's just no use. Our God is a resurrection God. You can't tame a resurrection God. Don't even try. We see that God is a God who equips. The church is an amazing thing, isn't it? As the body of Christ, God's Spirit calls us together. We meet together several times during the week here at the Grange Hall, in our homes. We gather around a common faith. We worship. We partake of the Holy Communion together. We study the scriptures together. We hear from God's word. We pray together. We share life together, the good and the bad, the joys and the pain. And we grow together. And we all bring a different voice to this choir that we call church. And Jesus, as the choir director, helps our voices to blend in a beautiful, harmonious way. Have you ever heard a choir I know Dan has. If you've been in a choir, you've probably experienced just that one person that just won't blend. Their voice sticks out, you know, and a good director will recognize that and say, hey, Dan, you got to tone it down. We got to blend as a group. And that's what Jesus does with us. He makes it so that we blend together into one homogeneous, harmonious group that sings his praises, that lives the life of the resurrected Christ. And God knows exactly the needs. And he promises to supply the need. And he promises to do that beyond all that we can ask or imagine. The beauty of a God who equips. And lastly, we see that he is the God at work in our lives. And you see in that verse that he works that which is pleasing in his sight. Works that which is pleasing in his sight. He doesn't work to make us rich in worldly wealth. God's not working to bring us status or power according to the standards of our society. But he works in us to bring about those things which bring honor and glory to Christ. He is at work to sanctify us. He is working to make us holy. He is working to make us his people, his ambassadors. Eugene Peterson describes our walk with Christ, describes discipleship as a long obedience in the same direction. I like that phrase. Our Christian walk is a long obedience in the same direction. There's times when it may not seem like we're getting anywhere, but we are if we stick it out. So in light of all this, our hearts should be asking this God that we serve, what do you want to teach me about me? In all of this, let's take a couple minutes and think about all that we've heard. Would you bow your heads and prayerfully consider this question? Lord, what do you want to teach me about me in all of this? Are you living in the peace? Are you trusting God to do the impossible? Are you leaning into the resources of God? Are you allowing God to continue his sanctifying work in your hearts? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that though the world around us may be chaotic, it may seem like there is no order, there is no hope, we thank you, Lord, that you have not abdicated the throne. That our eternal God, mighty to save, strong in power, holy and awesome, is still seated on that throne and still capable of handling and directing and guiding our lives. Well, my friends, what kind of God do we serve? We serve an awesome God, a God deserving our worship and praise. Will you stand with me one final time? And receive this benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. God bless you people. Oh, we need to pray a blessing on our bacon fest. Because God blesses bacon. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for tonight and this opportunity to fellowship for this time around a meal. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our time together as we share the joy that you have brought into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.